Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm privileged to welcome a very, very senior and accomplished private equity investor, Anshul Jain from India. Anshul, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Ashutosh. Very excited to be speaking to you and your viewers today.
Thank you. Anshul is the managing director of Lighthouse Funds, and she's a board member on several companies. So Anshul, let's talk about Lighthouse Funds. Before I go any further, tell me about the funds, the size of the funds, and the areas that you normally invest in.
Right. So we are a 15-year-old fund in the country. We've been operating in the areas which has obviously, varied interest. There is consumer, which we look at very, very closely. Mm-hmm. And then we have invested in health, wealth, digital, and manufacturing. These are mm-hmm. some of the other areas in which we've made investment. Mm-hmm. Consumer is a big part of what we do. When you think of us, what a consumer would be using from morning till they sleep in the night, I think you will find something in our basket.
Wow.
From a Sera sanitary ware all the way to Duroflex mattress. And in between we have a brand like Nykaa, wherein you can go and buy beauty products of your daily use, Kama Ayurveda, which is also a personal care brand, to Aqualite, which is a footwear company, Fab India, where you can go find apparel, home related products, and many more, food products, from Indian ethnic snacks like Bikaji Foods, to a QSR, which is Momo focused, like Wow Momo. And many more. I can go on talking about the 25 companies that we have invested in, largely focusing on the branded side.
Amazing, amazing. So, I don't know if it's right for me to say, but you are the lady behind the lady at Nykaa.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big statement.
Wonderful. So, for a lot of our very young viewers and listeners, before I get into more details, tell me, what is the difference between venture capital and private equity?
So look, venture capital is where the capital is backing businesses at very early stages, mm-hmm. right? It could be just backing a person if the person has an experience, typically even at the start, even before they are starting the venture on paper, they can get money. Mm-hmm. Or, the business itself is in very early stages. Either the monetization is yet to be proven, mm-hmm. or it is in a very early stage of monetization or reaching out to consumers. Mm-hmm. However, private equity is when the model is established, mm-hmm. And they need capital to grow further, right? They have reached a certain size and they mm-hmm. need to scale it beyond either geography they are operating in or just in the product segment they are in, to reach out to a lot more consumer and scale it to the next level. That's where the private equity comes in and focuses on the growth part of the business.
Fantastic. What a great response. So now coming back to the 25 companies that you have and you, the brands that you just spoke about a few minutes ago, I think I must have either used them or eaten at them at some time or the other. It's incredible. My question to you is that with such an amazing portfolio of brands, how do you seek out companies that are relevant today and in your words, will become more relevant tomorrow?
Mm-hmm. Basically, what does it mean? When I say market, we look at what is the addressable market and what is the growth rate in that market, right? Mm-hmm. When I say moat, we look at what is the defensibility of the business and what is it that you are building out, and that will help you build out on a sustainable basis. Mm-hmm. Management, of course, is very important, right? I mean, as great an idea can be, execution is what is done by management. And if execution is not done right, you hardly see businesses sort of go forward. Mm-hmm. And of course, the money part is basically the economics of the business. Mm-hmm. Are you building it at a certain economics where either today or later when you have scaled up, the profitability is something which comes back to the investors and mm-hmm. to the shareholders, mm-hmm. right? So basically, these are the four things that we focus on. Now, some can come later. For example, the economics part can be very different at when you invest to when you get to a higher scale. And that is something which we are mindful of. However, the initial three part that I spoke about, you know, the market, the moat, and the management, these are non-negotiable. You see the signs in early days, and irrespective of the scale, they are very, very important.
Very interesting. And before you decide to make an investment, what are some of the key metrics other than the four aims that you spoke about that you look at?
So again, here it is very different from each industry to industry, and in a particular industry also segment wise metrics can differ, right? Broadly, I can talk about consumer because we look at that sector very, very closely, and you can generalize some of the metrics there. Look, if you are building out a brand, that brand has to get love from consumers over and over again. That is when you are building out a brand for a long term. What does it mean? It means that while you go on lookout for new customers, it is as important to be able to retain your existing customers. You cannot go on digging the well for a very long time. And hence, customer retention as a metric becomes very important. Now, depending on who you are as a brand, if you are a brand which is direct to consumer, reaching through own websites, own stores, you can directly measure a customer retention. However, if you are a brand which is reaching to consumer via a distribution channel, I think what you look at is how has each door grown for you, right? And that becomes an important metric. Besides that, of course, you know, two other things. At a unit level, when you are making each sale to the consumer, are you making margin at each unit? You know, otherwise, every unit you sell further, you're going to be earning losses. And that business, even at scale, will be very difficult to get to a suitable economics. And then, you know, what is the strength of the brand that you've been able to build, right? So if you give out, which is effectively determined by, you know, is your distribution paying you in time? Is your consumer... If it's a distribution consumer, then a customer, then does it come back and pay you in time and offtake the goods further? I think these are four metrics which I think becomes very important as you evaluate a consumer brand.
Fascinating. And as a private equity fund who's investing in multiple companies, a question that I've often been asked is how involved should you get in the governance of the company? I'd love to get your perspective.
As an investor, you mean?
Yeah, as an investor.
See, I think governance as a concept cannot be more emphasized on. You know, as you grow, as growth is important for the business, I think governance is equally or more important, I would say. It is a very important building block for you to last as an organization. And hence, as an investor, I think it is our duty to actually put this forth to the board, to the management team, that one has to emphasize on it, you know, and you can help in many ways. You typically, we would have network, which we can bring in, you know, the consultants, which we can bring in to help the company get up to the speed, emphasize on all aspects, you know, be it the controls, processes part of it, which can be taken care internally, to the audit part of it, where you can get large reputed organizations, to the ESG part of it, which is also very, very important. And again, you will find support and network at each stage. But as a thought, it definitely has to be pushed forward if you look at longer term journey. You know, in short term, growth suffices, but in long term, growth and an organization built well is what is important, you know, for investors and for businesses.
Amazing. You know, and you're the first, and I must compliment you, but you're the first private equity person I have spoken to who's actually spoken of ESG. Tell me, from your perspective, why is ESG important in a business?
So there are many aspects of ESG, right? You know, I think why it is important is, like I said, right, the focus is never on short term, but a lot of people keep focus in terms of saying short term growth, you know, make your money, move out, right? If you have seen all the things, whether it's from the importance of various aspects to look at to the metrics I am looking at, it's all from talking about what is the long-term sustainability of the brand or the business, right? And hence, I'm not thinking of when I am getting in or when I am getting out, have I made my money? I am saying that in the businesses that I'm investing in, is that a long-lasting business, right? To all the shareholder, whether I continue to be associated or not. And that is why ESG is very important to us, because we are moving towards a world. Also, ESG is not just ESG part, right? There could be things like diversity, which matters, because I truly believe, you know, when you build a diverse organization, it is only going to serve you well.
Absolutely.
So there are those sort of things also that comes in picture, which has a direct tangible benefit to the company in question.
You're so right. You know, ESG is only one part, but the 17 SDGs are becoming even more important in the corporate world now. And I'm delighted you are saying something like this. But, you know, your response, Anshul, gives me a segue to my next question. All the companies that you spoke about have been in existence for a long time. At what stage do you look for an exit?
So it's really the scale of the business, you know, where it gets to is when we decide to talk about an exit, right? So if we are coming in very, see, again, we are a fund which has a certain life cycle. We have an obligation to our investors. So to that extent, we say that, okay, you know, we look at a 6 to 8 year sort of horizon. If it's a 10 year fund, once we get through raising longer term funds, we will obviously stay with our companies for longer. But as of now, I think 6 to 8 years is what we look at. Now, again, you know, depending on what is going on in the company, if there is a need for selling an extra, we do early, or if there is a need to hold on, we do longer as well. But that's the average. And I think typically in that period, there is a lot that has happened with company also. We enter a company with a certain objective in mind, right? If the company is in a certain geography, is the geographic expansion, you know, the objective? If the company is in a particular segment, can they diversify into ancillary segments? You know, so if those objectives are also achieved, then in 6 to 8 years, I think, you know, you'll start to look at getting the money back to shareholders.
But Anshul, now let's move to some more generic questions on startups. And you and your teams must be evaluating startups and early stage investments all the time. My first question to you is that what, according to you, are some of the basic mistakes a lot of startup entrepreneurs make?
Right. So look, I mean, you know, I think it's all part of growing up. So I would say it's a learning process rather than a mistake. But I would say that, look, I think people is the most important thing when you're building out an organization, right? So my first, again, in that there are two things one look at from people perspective. One is, of course, you know, do you need a co-founder or are you okay to go solo? And to that extent, if you need a co-founder, what are the complementary skills you are looking at, right? So it's a very, very important decision that you make. And some of the co-founders, some of the founders actually just decide to go solo and then in the process could struggle because they may not have all the skills that is needed. Of course, not to say, I mean, many solo co-founders have done very well. But, you know, again, something for each individual to evaluate that do you need it or not. Second is hiring decisions, right? When you're building out the teams initially, it is very important to make sure that you're hiring the right people. You know, do not make a hiring decision based on finance, at least in the initial team. Later on, of course, you know, as you grow, you need to be a lot more cognizant of how the money is being spent. But initial team has to be built on the skills that you need because your business will not take off otherwise, right? So that's on the people part. And the other thing is, you know, are you making the right decision on the costing side? You know, people end up, again, it's a fine balance, which each person will know, spending too little and spending too much. Be always aware of what you are doing. Even if you are investing out ahead, which companies have to do to build out for the future, you have to be cognizant of the fact that you're doing something today. And is that continuing phenomena or is it something which you will get in control later on? So always be aware of that whole finance part of it, of the cost part of it. And choose your investor very, very wisely, you know, is again, very important because you need a partner that can support you in the vision that you have laid out. So be careful with your partners.
Well said, well said. And a follow-up question to that, which I've often been asked, is that at what stage should a startup entrepreneur look for funding? The whole issue is, how long should I bootstrap versus should I pick up the money as soon as it's available? What is your perspective?
So, you know, again, I think it depends on what sort of business you are building out, right? Zerodha today has not raised money ever in their more than a decade sort of journey. And they have gone about building a business which is so valuable without having raised any money. I do feel that it is an entrepreneur's vision that is getting translated via the organization, and hence be very conscious of the equity that you are diluting. Raise the money for, you know, the markets may not exist forever and you've got a certain opportunity today. So you should go ahead and raise as much needed, but always be conscious of why you are raising it and use it judiciously. Right. Also, I think some business inherently need capital. You know, you've heard of Thrasio sort of models, which are coming up in India. Now, the whole business model cannot be executed if you have not raised capital. So for them, it's a need to do it versus, you know, I am taking up capital because it is available. You know, never take capital because it is available. Always take capital because you are either needing it today or you are planning a little bit in advance. There is no harm in having 2-3 years of comfort capital so that you don't sort of keep going back to the fundraising mode. But you know, build a business consciously in terms of your own shareholding as well, and balancing out with the needs of the business so that growth is not stifled.
Wonderful. I've got time for two more questions. The next question that, again, I've been asked every time I speak somewhere or people write to me is that at what stage should a startup start to scale up? Because when someone gets money from private equity, the pressure is to go pan-India or now global. And yet I tell people that if you're in the national capital region, you've got a huge population available in the NCR alone. What is your perspective?
So I agree, you know, just going spreading wings everywhere and spreading yourself too thin does not help. You know, when you are in very initial stages, don't take too much time in terms of overthinking the product, right? Go launch, get feedback from customers, at least start operating in a mini market.
Correct.
From there on, take next steps and just move to close by markets. You know, see what is important for you to show that to be able to actually get confidence in yourself, your team, and the business idea. You know, for example, if you are in a design company, right? There is no point doing the whole world at once. You can actually execute many houses in a city and then go on in a state, because there are advantages which you get of leveraging the network which you create.
Yeah.
However, if you are a product that can be shipped from any warehouse and it's a small parcel, it's okay to actually go, you know, open warehouses in certain locations which will be important for your business. There's no point just restricting yourself to a Delhi NCR or to just a Bangalore, right? So I think each business to its own, but see that you are building a business model which is then scalable, you know, if you are going from one region to another. And the other way, like I mentioned, right? So I think one has to take a call basis business model, but build out something which is scalable.
Wonderful. And my last question to you, and again, this is asked by a lot of startup founders. Should I have a partner or a co-founder, or should I go solo? You answered it partly a few minutes ago,
right?
But I'd love to get some more insights from you on that.
So see, co-founder, particularly, like I said, you know, if you think you need a complementary skill, I feel it's a must. You know, if you come from a technocrat background where you feel that you don't have a business mind, then you need a partner who has a business mind, and vice versa also, right? Because if you are building out something on tech, which is happening right now a lot more, then you know, if you are a business person, get a technical expertise if you need that. Also, the other things become important in terms of your chemistry, in terms of your individual personality as a collaborator. You know, do you like, are you okay to work with someone, or you always say, no, the last word is mine. If you are an individual where the last word is yours, you better go solo. But if you are a person who collaborates well with others and think that you know, people are bringing certain value on table, you know, then I think it's best to go with a co-founder, because then you are doubling up in terms of skills that is available to you as a starting team.
Fascinating. Anshul, on that note, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure speaking to you. Thank you for talking to me at such length about all the amazing investment you are doing in Lighthouse Funds. And I wish you continue to keep getting more and more unicorns in your portfolio. And more importantly, thank you for talking to me at such length on startups first, and all your wise words for startup founders. Thank you again and good luck.
Thank you so much, Ashutosh. It was a pleasure speaking to you.
Thank you for listening to the brand called You Videocast and Podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for the brand called You.